I found another letter in my shoe locker today. What was it with letters and shoe lockers? Didn't anyone know how to use email? This letter felt different to the other one, though. For one thing, it wasn't just a scrap of folded paper without a name. It was in a plain white envelope, like one of those ones that they sell in business packs and bookstores, and on it was Asahina Senpai's name. I shoved the envelope roughly into my bag and rushed to the girls' washroom to open it. The message was written in a plain white piece of paper, meandering a bit when it reached the end. He'll be waiting for me in the clubroom during lunch break? After what happened yesterday, my notion of reality had changed dramatically. I never wanted to go through anything like that ever again. And yet, there was no way I could turn this down. I couldn't imagine Asahina-senpai even thinking about doing anything improper to me. And even though I had no proof that this letter was indeed sent by him, I didn't doubt its authenticity. He seemed the sort to go through such indirect, old-fashioned means. The mental image of Asahina-senpai slowly writing every word down with great care, his face locked in concentration, made me smile. Besides, if we're meeting in the clubroom, then Nagato should be there as well, and he'd protect me if anything really happens. During break, though, I began to have my doubts. What if Nagato wasn't there? What if it wasn't Asahina-senpai after all? What if it's another alien like Asakura out to murder me to provoke a reaction in Haruki? My hair was in my eyes, so I brushed it back, remembering why I kept it back in a ponytail in the first place. And as my hand touched the back of my head, I remembered why I was wearing my hair down at all. For a moment, I felt like an ancient peasant farmer who had been dutifully stacking sod and straw, only to be surprised by a flash flood. Just for a second, I was there again, in this very classroom, unable to move. Hearing Asakura say, "I have always wondered what you would look like with your hair down." Feeling the rush of hair of the katana near my head, but unable to dodge. The brief tug at my hair. And then, back in reality, something else tugged on my hair. I was dimly aware of two things. The first was a voice saying, "What are you doing spacing out and playing with your hair?" The second was my hand suddenly on my bento box. The next moment, I found myself standing upright, looking down at the desk behind me. My heart was racing and I felt completely out of breath. Haruki was sitting there, blinking with surprise, a small trickle of blood running from his nose. My lunch was splattered all over him and everyone else in the classroom was staring at me in shock. What? I clocked you in the face with my lunch, Haruki? How did that happen? Taniguchi told me what happened later on. Why do I have to rely on such a questionable witness, though? Come on, brain, cough up the facts! What else are you hiding from me? At any rate, according to Taniguchi, Haruki had reached out and yanked, wasn't it a tug? On my hair while I was looking off into the distance and I screamed really loudly, so Taniguchi assumed that he must have pulled too hard on my head. I didn't bother correcting her. Some pressuring was needed to make Taniguchi reveal what it was that I had screamed, exactly. Apparently, it was a simple no. Next, she saw me shoot out of my chair and smack Haruki in the face with my lunchbox, all in one movement. Come on, haven't we established that I'm not an action hero? The next thing I remember, Okabe-sensei was dragging me to her office and I had to spend the rest of recess assuring her that I was just startled because Haruki disturbed me while I was nodding off. It was just a bad dream that I continued into wakefulness. Really? Please don't make a bigger deal out of this than it already is, sensei! I'm going to have to apologize to that idiot, especially since they dragged him off to the guidance counselor's office. He didn't even show up for next period, which was a mixed blessing. On the one hand, I felt embarrassed about the whole thing, but on the other hand, I was now the object of everyone's attention. Besides, his school bag was still there, so he hadn't been sent home. Ugh, I felt mortified, and it all happened just because I couldn't find a dye for my damned hair! Haruki didn't show up for the period after that, either. When lunchtime finally rolled around, I was immediately surrounded by a gaggle of idiots, wanting to know what really happened during break. I suppose that's better than being asked what I was doing with Nagato in the classroom yesterday. I was surprised that Taniguchi hadn't spread the word about what she saw yesterday all over the school like the gossip she was. Maybe she wanted to get the story straight out of my mouth. Yeah, I should believe the truth anyway. Seeing her coming over to me, I ducked out of the crowd surrounding me. Right now, being stabbed to death would be better than having to deal with airheaded gossips. Well, no, I don't really mean that. Besides, without a lunch, there's no real point in waiting around here. I headed towards the clubroom.
I guess it's safe to say I'll never know the answer. Why is it that you had to pick me out of everyone else that's here? Why is it that I seem to have been picked out of all of the unlikely things? You believe that the world is here just for you to explore. You're not right. Why is it that my heart now swells up with a lovely strand? Is it you? It's an adventure, right? That's what you seem to think. Can it be a normal day? You seem to think that you are finally getting somewhere better even being around me. Please won't you just let go of me? Without me you'll fly away instantly. I'll only be weighing you down. Is it just me or does everyone know and think that you are that crazy? Please believe me. Please believe me. I believe you.
When I arrived at the clubroom door, I knocked first.
Please, come in.
The voice was unfamiliar and I hesitated. Was that really Asahina-senpai in there? If I really trained my mind, I could make myself believe that I could hear a bit of Asahina-senpai in there, but it was too deep to be his normal voice. He sounded friendly enough, but Asakura was friendly yesterday too, just before he tried to kill me. I steeled myself. Even if it was someone dangerous, Nagato would come and help me, right? He came last time without me calling for him. He's dependable. He'll save me no matter what. I opened the door. Nagato wasn't there. The person sitting inside wasn't Asahina-senpai either, and I actually took a step backwards before stopping myself. He was sitting in my usual chair, leaning back and looking up at the ceiling. He was wearing a loose white shirt and tight black business pants, plus the slippers made for school visitors. His long brown hair was tied into a ponytail down his back. He wasn't Asahina-senpai, but he looked a lot like him. The Asahina-senpai I knew wasn't that tall, and he looked more like a cute little boy than this handsome guy in front of me now. This guy looked like he was in his 20s, and gave a completely different feel than the middle schooler like Asahina-senpai. But he resembled Asahina-senpai too much to be a coincidence.
It's been a long time, One-chan.
Huh? One-chan?
The tea's ready. Sit down. Make yourself comfortable. Want sugar or milk?
It hit me. Could he be? Are you, Asahina-senpai's brother?
No. One-chan, it's me. I'm Asahina Mitsuru. Except that I come from further into the future. I've been waiting for a long time to meet you again.
I can't imagine the stupid expression on my face then. After what Asahina-senpai told me in the park, I could accept this person was himself from the future, and I took a few more steps into the clubroom to get a closer look at him. He had really grown handsome in the years to come, and he'd probably have a huge following of potential girlfriends if he was still single.
Oh? You don't believe me? Well then, I'll have to show you proof, right?
He began to unbutton his shirt. He revealed his chest with a star-shaped birthmark on it.
Look, can you see the star-shaped birthmark? You can touch it if you want to. That's strange. If you hadn't told me that I had this birthmark, I wouldn't have noticed it myself. Or could it be that this wasn't supposed to happen yet? We still haven't! Please forget what I just said!
I'll believe you for now. Right now, after what happened yesterday, I'll believe anything. Wait, does that mean that there are now two Asahina-senpais in this time?
Right, One-chan. The me from the past is now sitting in his classroom, eating lunch with one of his classmates.
Does he know that you're here?
No, he's from my past. I had to tell you something. So I got permission from the higher-ups to let me come to this time. Also, I've asked Nagato-kun to leave us for now.
Nagato probably didn't even bat an eyelid when he saw this Asahina-senpai.
I can't stay here too long, so I'll get right to the point. Have you heard of the Frog Prince?
Well, yeah, who hasn't heard of it?
Whatever you'll face from now on, no matter how bad, I hope you'll remember that story.
The Frog Prince, right? The one where the handsome prince is turned into a frog and the princess has to kiss him to change him back?
That's the one.
I've already experienced something bad yesterday.
This is worse than that. I can't tell you the details, but Suzumiya Haruki will be at your side. Suzumiya-kun won't find anything wrong with it. But for the rest of us, It's a very complicated problem.
Worse than yesterday? And Haruki, by my side? You mean we'll both be involved in something horrible? I'll remember it.
Thank you. I remember this. Well, I guess there's no way I'd pass off as a girl while wearing it now, huh?
What sort of other stuff did Haruki make you wear?
I'm not telling. It's really embarrassing. Though, it was kind of fun. So then, One-chan, I'll be going now. I have one more request to make. Please, don't get too close to me. That's right. I have this to give you.
From his pocket, he pulled out a yellow ribbon.
For your hair. Looks like you'll need it anyway.
Thanks. I guess there's no need to go buy hair ties now.
Oh, don't thank me. Thank yourself. You were the one who gave that to me.
What?
Drink your tea. It's getting cold.
I have one more question for you. Are you seeing anyone right now?
That is classified information.
Just like that, the door closed behind him. I can't even believe how good-looking Asahina-senpai became when he grew up. I suddenly thought of the first thing he said to me. It's been a long time, One-chan. Obviously, it's been quite some time since he last saw me. The future Asahina-senpai must have returned to his distant future, and then spent a few years there before reuniting with me on this time plane again. So how long has this been for him? He's grown a lot. Maybe 5 years? Of course, it could be less. Some guys go through huge growth spurts after they graduate. My cousin was like that. When he was in high school, he had always been this short, weak, studious kid. But then, when he entered a university, he grew nearly a foot and became the object of about 100 girls' affections. Because of all this, though, I'm confused as to what his real age is. Is he really 17? I'm hungry. I think I'll go back to the classroom and see if I can get Kunikita to share some of her lunch with me. She always brings too much anyway. But as I opened the door, standing there was Nagato Yuki, who was wearing his usual well-preserved cold face, but as he wasn't wearing glasses today, he stared at me with a naked glare.
Oh! Hi, Nagato-kun! Did you just see someone who looked like an older version of Asahina-senpai passing by?
I had seen Asahina Mitsuru's different temporal double already this morning. He is no longer here and has departed from this time frame.
Can you travel through time as well, with that data entity thingy?
I cannot. However, temporal movement is not as difficult as one would think. It is just that humans have yet to grasp its basic principles. Time is like space. Moving through it is very simple.
Then, could you teach me?
That is a concept that cannot be conveyed in speech. So you would not understand even if I explained it.
That's so.
Yes.
It was pointless trying to talk to such a wooden person, so I decided to go back to the classroom. I hope I still have time to eat something.
Nagato-kun? Thanks for yesterday.
There is no need to thank me. Asakura Ryo's actions were my responsibility. I was careless with my supervision.
His hair parting swung softly. Was he trying to bow and apologize to me?
You know, you definitely do look cooler without your glasses.
As I was rushing back to the classroom to scrounge up some lunch, I ran smack dab into Haruki. Could this be fate? It seems I've reached the point where I can see through all karma. I remember what I did to his face during break.
Listen, I just want to—
Try not to space out in class. You act even more stupid than usual when you're sleepy.
Have some manners, dumbass! Let a girl apologize when she feels like she has to. So, it seems your feelings weren't hurt, as you're still capable of spouting nonsense.
So where did you run off to anyways? I thought you'd be back sooner. Didn't even eat lunch because I was waiting for you.
Good. You can share some with me. It's your fault I don't have any, in any case.
Don't just stand there like an idiot! Come here! Okay, after I finally got out of the counselor's office, I went to ask Okabe in the staff room. The teachers only learned about Asakura transferring this morning. Early in the morning, someone claimed to be Asakura's mom called, and she said they had to move due to some sort of emergency. And you know where they're moving? Canada? How could this be possible? I mean, why the hell would anyone move to Canada? There's something going on here, I know it. So after I heard that, I said it was a good friend of Asakura and I want to ask the teachers how I can contact him. You want to know what the teacher said? They didn't know. Think about that. Normally, if someone was going to move, wouldn't they leave some sort of contact information? I'm telling you, something weird is going on here.
No, there isn't.
So I asked for Asakura's old address before he moved. I'm gonna go there and take a look after school. Maybe we can find something there.
Forget it. I'm not going to stop him. In the end, the one wasting his time is Haruki, not me or anyone else.
Oh, you're coming too.
What? Why? I have no interest.
Because you're a member of the SOS Brigade!
I retreated frantically, complying with Haruki's unreasonable orders. I went to the club room to tell Nagato that neither Haruki nor I would be showing up for club activities today. I also instructed Nagato to relay the message to Asina-senpai and Itsuko as soon as they arrived, but I didn't know if a silent alien would even say anything, so just to be safe, I took a felt pen and wrote on the back of one of the SOS Brigade flyers. I wrote that there were no activities today for the SOS Brigade. I don't suppose it will matter in the least to Itsuko, but at least I can save Asahina-senpai from having to wear his maid outfit. The bell for fifth session rang as I finished writing and pasted the note on the club room door. Because of this, I was forced to run all the way to class. If I said I never wanted a guy to walk me home from school like on TV dramas, I'd be lying. But now that this dream has become a reality, I'm far from happy. For obvious reasons, of course. We walk on the hill and follow the railway line, a little bit further on to Kyoen Station. Just as I was thinking that we must be near Nagato's place, we arrived there. I never had guessed that this was where Haruki was heading.
So, it seems Asakura lives in room 505.
No wonder.
What do you mean, no wonder?
No, nothing. Oh yeah, how do you expect to go in? Look, even the gate is locked. You need to enter the correct code to open the door. Do you even know it?
Nope. Fortunately, I have a plan. We just might have to wait a little while, though.
Waiting? What are we waiting for? As it turned out, we didn't end up waiting long. At that moment, a middle-aged man in a business suit opened the gate from inside, looking like he was just about to go into the office. He looked at us for a while with a questioning glance and then walked off. Just as the gate was closing, Haruki rushed forward and put his foot in between it to stop it from closing. Good idea, but that's trespassing.
Hey, hurry up!
Haruki pulled my hand and like that, I was dragged into the entrance hall. The first thing I noticed wasn't the cheek door, but the loud music. Why is someone playing forum music so loudly in a semi-public space? And if they must play music, why chair? Ignoring this assault to my ears, Haruki dragged me into the elevator.
That Asakura.
Simple manners are wasted on someone like Haruki.
It's not just the transfer that's fishy. He didn't attend a local junior high either.
Well, that's to be expected, really.
Hey, I've done my research. He supposedly transferred to North High School from another town. It doesn't add up. North High isn't some famous school or anything, it's just a local high school. Why would he go through so much effort to come from another town just to attend our school? Yet he lives near the school, and it's one of those apartments paid by cash, not by rent. Pricer must be insanely expensive. Could he have been going from here to his junior high on train for the last 3 years?
Why are you asking me? I told you I have no idea.
I guess we need to find out when Asakura started living here then.
Looking at this door brings back memories of that battle in Class 1-5. Asakura's last words echo in my mind.
I guess you get to live after all. You'd better be careful though. I'm not the only one with a dissenting opinion. Just like with humans, eh? The good and the bad. And who knows? Even those who control Nagato-san might change their thinking and decide to kill you instead. Well, even so, I wish you and Suzumi-san the best of luck.
Hey, you okay?
I'm fine. Don't you feel that draft?
Weirdo.
Haruki stood with his arms crossed, trying to figure out how to get inside the apartment to investigate while I tried to figure out why I was here wasting my time in the first place.
Ah! Let's find the caretaker.
I don't think she'll lend us the key.
Nah, I'm thinking about asking her when Asakura started living here.
Just forget it, Haruki. What can we do even if we did know? Can't we just go home?
No.
Soon enough, I spotted a radio behind the glass and an old lady sat in the caretaker's seat. She noticed us, then blinked owlishly and scrawled at her desk, eventually taking out a pair of butterfly glasses.
Excuse me, we're friends of Asakura-san. He suddenly said he was moving and he never left us a new address. We don't know how to contact him. Could we please ask you where he moved to? And do you know when he first started living here?
I was amazed at how Haruki can actually use such normal, polite language, but the old lady seemed to be hard of hearing as well as half blind.
Come again?
I was wondering if you know where he moved to, and I was also wondering when he first started living here.
Come to think of it, although I've often seen that handsome young boy, I don't recall ever seeing his parents. I remember the fine young man there was Ryo. Such a nice name. He moved 3 years ago. I remember the handsome young lad giving me a box of treats that day. Instead of paying in installments, the apartment had been paid for in one single down payment in cash. I guess they must be very rich. I was hoping he would at least come and say goodbye. It was such a pity. I forget how many times I invited him over for tea and a chat.
I'm impressed, Haruki. You can be a detective at this rate. The old lady, however, seemed rather pleased to be talking to a good-looking guy like Haruki. Haruki determined he could no longer extract any more information from her, and bowed.
Thank you very much for your help.
He then motioned for me to leave. I didn't need any urging at all, since I was eager to get far, far away from this apartment building.
Hey, little lady! That boy's a looker. He'll grow to be a nice man. If I was my granddaughter's age, I'd go after him in a heartbeat, so don't let him get away!
Okay? Thanks. I hope I would never have to come back here again. The old woman was obviously senile. What I was worried about was what sort of terrible reaction Haruki, who might have overheard all that, would have. Yet, he silently continued moving forward, and so I remained silent as well and followed him out of the building. A few steps from the gate, we bumped into Nagato, carrying his school bag and some plastic grocery bags. For Nagato, who would usually be in the club room reading until the school closed, to be here at this time would mean that he had left soon after we did.
Ah, you live here too? That's a coincidence.
Please, how can this be a coincidence?
Have you heard anything about Asakura?
Nagato shook his head.
Alright. Well, if you hear anything about Asakura, let me know, okay?
He nodded his head. Are those the only responses you're capable of? I noticed some food cans and vegetables inside his grocery bags. I guess he does need to eat after all.
Hey, what happened to your glasses?
Nagato didn't directly answer the question, but only silently looked at me. I panicked a bit being stared at him like that, while Haruki, not expecting him to answer at all, simply shrugged his shoulders and walked off without looking back. I lifted my arm and waved goodbye to Nagato as we walked past.
Be careful.
Be careful? Of what? But as I was about to turn around and ask him, he had already vanished into his apartment building. Jeez, you're gonna make me paranoid! I followed Haruki, who was walking aimlessly along the railway line, always remaining 2 to 3 steps behind him. Walking this way would lead me further and further from home, so I asked where we were going.
Nowhere.
Then can I please go home now? At that point, Haruki stopped dead and I walked straight into his back. He turned and looked at me with a gloomy look, his face as pale white as Nagato's.
Gion, you ever get the feeling you're just an insignificant speck on the face of the planet? I have, and I never forgot it. When I was in 6th grade, I went with my family to see a baseball game. I wasn't really interested in baseball. When I got there, I was shocked. Everywhere I looked, there were people all around. The people on the opposite end of the stadium looked like grains of rice, all of them in constant motion. Back then, I thought that everyone in Japan had gathered to watch that game. I asked my mom how many people were at the stadium. She said it was full that day, so there were about 50,000 people. After the game, the roads were packed with those people. Seeing all this, I was completely stunned. There were so many people here, yet there were only a tiny fraction of the whole country. I read in geography class that Japan had a population of 100 million. So I went home, did the math. I found out that 50,000 was only 1/2,000th of the total population. I was stunned again. I was only 1 out of so many people in that stadium. And all of those people were only a small part of the entire country. Before that day, I thought I was something special. I was happy with my family, and I felt that the world's most interesting people were in my class. After all that, it hit me. The things that I experienced in school that I thought were the happiest and best moments of my life happened in every school. for the whole country, the whole planet, they were just everyday occurrences. The entire world around me started to lose its color. I brush my teeth and go to sleep, then wake up and have breakfast. It's the same. Day after day after boring day. My life became boring when I realized everything I did was just a part of everyone's ordinary life. Since there are so many people in this world, there has to be somebody who's living an extraordinary, exciting life. Think about it. Someone out there has to be fighting aliens, rescuing princesses, and slaying giants. Why couldn't that be me? I thought all about it before I graduated from elementary school. When I entered junior high, I decided to change myself. I'd show the whole world that I'm not someone who's content to just sit and wait. But even after I tried my best, everything's still the same. Now I'm in high school still hoping for something to change. At this rate, nothing's ever gonna change. Ever.
A train passed rapidly by us. Thanks to the rumbling noise, I had time to consider what I should do next. Should I come up with something philosophical and inspiring? Should I say something to make him laugh? Hug him?
Let's go!
He strode back the way we came. Though I could reach home faster if I went after him, I somehow got the feeling he didn't want me to follow. I stayed where I was and watched Haruki walk off until he disappeared from my sight. Just, what the hell have I been doing all this time? I was very surprised when I arrived at the SOS Brigade room the other day after I finished cleaning duty. In fact, it would be fair to say that I was very surprised. Let's go all out and say I was mortified. I did not expect to see all of the above, plus my little brother, facing Haruki across the table over a game board with a smiling Kuzumi at his side. Hey you! What are you doing here?
Kion, you're late!
Says who?
That's right, Kion, you're late. Kozumi-chan beat you here by 10 minutes. That's a penalty, Kion. A penalty!
Penalty for having cleaning duty? You truly are an idiot.
No, you're an idiot. You forgot your lunch, and Dad told me to bring it to you before my classes started.
Hey, how about showing some manners and filial support in front of your seniors? Wait, you brought me food? Let's forget that you failed to do so at the designated time and hand it over. I'll forgive you of everything.
I forgot to bring it to you before, but I came after my classes ended, and then I ran into Haruki Nichan.
I fully understand. It's fine, it's fine. Now, where's my lunch? Even if some of it's gone a little stale by now, I'll eat it. No, I will gratefully eat it. My stomach is trying to hug my spine, it's so empty.
Haruki Nichan brought me here and said that I could wait. But then we got hungry.
You didn't. He did. My brother presented me with a mostly empty lunchbox. Only a few small grains of rice had escaped his and Haruki's greed. Damn it! Didn't the two of you bring lunches of your own?
Anyway, it's your own fault for being forgetful and being late. So now, you have to pay the price for your crimes, Kion.
Suffering from hunger, heat, and the urge to throttle my own brother isn't punishment enough, I suppose.
What are you talking about? Throttling your little brother when he made the effort of coming all the way here on those little legs of his. He's such an honest boy! It's incredible the two of you are related! So, I'm teaching him shogi as a reward.
What the hell kind of reward is that? And he's so honest that he ate my food and lumped me with his stupid nickname.
Hey, it's time for tea, right?
I looked expectantly at Asahima-senpai, who, against expectations, was not dressed for the occasion as usual. Strange. Haruki noticed the direction of my stare and suddenly rose, pulling me outside the club room.
What kind of example are you setting for your little brother here?
Come again?
He's still little, vulnerable to all kinds of influences. If we have Mitsuru doing all the chores, he'll pick it up. You can count on it.
Great. It'd be great to have him being helpful around the house.
Idiot! We can't have Mitsuru wearing that maid outfit in front of your little bro. I mean, what if he picked that up too? Before you know it, your own brother will be borrowing your lingerie.
Now, I definitely don't want to see that happen. But it sounds unlikely in the extreme that it would. Having spoken, Haruki seized Asahina-san by the collar and charged out of the club room. Nagato closed his book and followed without a word. Are you averting your gaze, Nagato? What's going on? Why did Koizumi lock the door? Hey, what the— Much later, to my feelings at least, I walked home with the handlebars of my bicycle in one hand and my little brother's hand in the other. He was carrying my bag in his free hand. The sun shone down on us redly, which was a nice match with the color of my face, which had been painted by shame and fury.
Kion, so you always wear a maid dress after school and make tea?
Shut up. I implore you not to remind me of this poisonous fiction, which I tolerate only for the sake of Asahima-san's reputation among everyone you talk to. Not to mention in order to prevent the distant, unrealistic chance that you might start wearing my summer dresses.
Your tea isn't that good, is it?
Again, shut up. You can't even make tea.
So you're still seeing that tall guy, right? Yuki-ni-chan?
I wasn't seeing him in the way you mean at all. You just drew false conclusions, which I had to stop you from spilling to our father. While I doubt he would have been angry to learn I had someone to see, he would have objected strongly to my being alone with a boy late at night.
But you're putting on a maid apron for Haruki-ni-chan and Mitsuru-ni-chan, too. And Isuko-ne said it made you look really cute.
What's with calling all these people Ni-chan or Ne-chan when you won't even do it for your own older sister anymore? You're so not as cute as you look. But he actually had Itsuko's intonation down pat. What the heck was she thinking? Forcing me into maid attire right in front of my own little brother. Probably that I wouldn't fight as dirty or make as much of a fuss in front of him. Indeed, I went behind the screen once that Asahina-senpai's uniform came out, just to be safe. I didn't like the memory of the way she beamed at me the whole time I was wearing the uniform, smiling as if she'd won the $10 million lottery. What was up with that?
So you're making yourself pretty for three guys at the same time! Chocolate ice cream, takoyaki, and you take me to the festival!
What are you talking about?
Kyonjan's three-timing, isn't she? Isn't that how it's called? But anyway, that means I get three things, like I got one thing before when you were just going out with Yuki-ni-chan at night.
So embarrassing. I'll get you, this Haruki, for meddling in the balance of power between brother and sister!
そう、じっとして